Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, September 29th, 2015. And as usual, we'd like to thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
President Robert Mugabe was at it again yesterday condemning gays and Western sanctions, but some Zimbabweans say he should tone down his anti-Western rhetoric.
I denounce in the strongest terms the illegal sanctions that are imposed on my country by the European Union and the USA, and call for their immediate and unconditional removal.
Hundreds of Zimbabweans who applied for special permits in South Africa are now living in fear as they are still waiting for their permits a day before the program ends tomorrow.
It doesn't sit very well with us because there are people whose permits were not issued to start off with. But then there are also those whose permits were rejected and they need to appeal.
And Zimbabwe drafts a diaspora policy designed to boost the country's ailing economy.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
As expected, President Robert Mugabe yesterday stuck to familiar themes of gays and sanctions in his United Nations General Assembly speech in New York. But he also extended an olive branch to Western countries that imposed sanctions on him and other members of his inner circle, asking the United States in particular what Zimbabwe had done to incur her wrath. VOA's Sandra Nyaira has more details.
In his wide-ranging speech at the UN headquarters in New York, President Mugabe attacked the West for imposing sanctions on him and members of his inner circle, saying developed nations with a regime change agenda should not interfere in the internal affairs of the country. Mentioning the United States by name, Mr. Mugabe said he did not know what Zimbabwe had done wrong to upset America for the country to impose what he said were crippling economic sanctions on Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe desires and is committed to nurturing friendly relations with other nations, but he cannot tolerate interference in its domestic affairs. We invite other countries with which we may have differences, including the United States and the NATO powers. We invite them, if they have differences of whatever nature with us, to eschew threats, pressures, and punitive actions in favor of reconciliation, friendship, and dialogue. I therefore denounce in the strongest terms the illegal sanctions that are imposed on my country by the European Union and the USA, and call for their immediate and unconditional removal. We don't know what wrong we have done to the United States, and can it leave us free and independent to do our own thing, please?
President Mugabe was also critical on gays, noting that Zimbabwe fundamentally differs with the West on such issues. He condemned the push for gay rights by, quote, self-anointed prefects of our time.
We equally reject attempts to prescribe new rights that are contrary to our values, norms, traditions, and beliefs. We are not gays. Respecting and upholding human rights is the obligation of all states and is enshrined in the United Nations Charter. Nowhere does the Charter arrogate the right to some to sit in judgment over others.
In the beginning of the speech, he wore his African Union chairmanship hat and reiterated long-standing calls by the AU and other developing nations for the reform of the United Nations Security Council and the General Assembly. President Mugabe, who has been accused of rights abuses, told the General Assembly the issue of respecting and upholding human rights is the obligation of all states as enshrined in the United Nations Charter.
In that regard, we reject the politicization of this important issue and the application of double standards to victimize those who dare think and act independently of the self-anointed prefects of our time.
He ended his speech by telling the biggest gathering in decades of world leaders that Zimbabwe wants to live in harmony with all countries, big or small.
Once more, I put it on record that my country is desirous to live in harmony with all countries, big and small. We have peace in Zimbabwe just now. We don't want war. We don't want interference. We don't want to hear of regime change at all.
United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon had opened the session earlier, setting the tone for the need for world leaders to confront the various conflicts besetting the world, especially the Syrian crisis. Reporting for Studio 7 in Washington, D.C., this is Sandra Nyaira.
Thank you, Sandra. Now on the line, we have our reporter, Blessing Zulu, who is live from the United Nations headquarters. Blessing, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing fine. And how is New York today?
Oh, it's fine. Nice weather.
Oh, okay. So what are people there saying about Mr. Mugabe's speech?
Mr. Mugabe, like Sandra indicated in her report there, touched on a number of issues to do with gays, the need to reform the United Nations Security Council, the issue of promoting women's rights, and of course his familiar theme, which many are saying is beginning to sound like a broken record, the issue of targeted sanctions against Zimbabwe. But what seems to have generated a lot of interest in the media. I was just reading newspapers from the UK, from India, here in New York. The issue of Mr. Mugabe's attack on gays seems to be the issue that has generated a lot of interest.
Hello, Blessing.
Yes, marvelous. How are you?
I'm good. You seem to be rubbing shoulders with all the big leaders up there.
Oh, yes.
Is there anyone?
The UN General Council, yeah.
Yes. Is there anyone who appears to be supporting some of the issues raised by the president?
Of course, some African leaders, notably, of course, Mr. Yoweri Museveni of Uganda has similar views with Mr. Mugabe when it comes to attacking gays. And on the issue of the need to reform the United Nations Security Council, I think President Jacob Zuma of South Africa also addressed the United Nations yesterday and called upon the body to reform, and saying that it is not enough to only have the big five, namely China, the United States, France, Russia, and Britain, having veto power, and all the majority of the African leaders are with Mr. Mugabe to say the Security Council must be reformed.
So, Blessing, in the past, we have seen that some leaders walk out when a leader like President Mugabe, who is known for his anti-West rhetoric, takes to the podium. What was the reaction this time?
It was more of the same because when he addressed later in the evening, most leaders had actually left the room. Of course, there were some who remained, mainly from Africa, who were cheering him on.
To wrap up, Blessing, tell us a little bit about what is happening today.
Today on the sidelines of the General Assembly meeting, President Barack Obama chaired a summit on counter-terrorism, and it was discussing ISIL, for example, and it also touched on the issue of Boko Haram in Nigeria and also Al-Shabaab in Somalia, and Washington committed to helping the African Union to fight terrorism.
Thank you, Blessing.
Yes, thank you so much.
Blessing, mm-hmm. Thanks a lot. I'll see you tomorrow. I'm coming down to New York. President Mugabe, in his address at the United Nations General Assembly, spoke of the cuff and castigated Westerners for pushing for gay rights that are not in line with the country's beliefs and culture. Ironically, gay activist Chesterfield Samba, who heads the Gays and Lesbians of Zimbabwe, received a Celebration of Courage Award from the International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission on the sidelines of the meeting. Samba was honored for the work he's doing in fighting for gay rights in Zimbabwe. Samba, who's in New York, told Studio 7 he'll travel to Washington for some meetings tomorrow before returning home.
At the same time, some Zimbabweans say President Robert Mugabe should have toned down his speech when he addressed the United Nations General Assembly. They argue they expected Mr. Mugabe to speak about sanctions, gays, and related issues at the UN Assembly. Our correspondent Patricia Mwanigwa reports.
Independent political commentator and Pan-Africanist Takura Shangansha said the president should not show his intolerance for gays when he addresses such forums.
Well, the president should not use such platforms as the United Nations, the General Assembly, to demonstrate specific intolerance at a time when the country badly needs investment from countries that believe in some of those values. And the president's attitude does not help us in our image globally.
Human rights activist Gladys Klachwayo echoed the same sentiments, noting that Mr. Mugabe should always tone down his speech at such events as Zimbabwe depends on the West for foreign aid.
And when you are begging, when you are coming from a country that is in an economic crisis, where you need bailouts, where you need assistance from the global community, you are not supposed to then go on those international platforms and behave in the way that he's behaving.
The two agreed that such a speech was widely expected from the president, who dislikes the West, where he has at times found friends that support him for standing against what Mr. Mugabe thinks is some neo-colonial agenda being pushed by America, Britain, and other nations. However, James Chava, a Harare resident, said President Mugabe is spot on most issues, as Zimbabwe fears that it may end up inheriting so-called foreign cultures like homosexuality.
The president was spot on. Africa and Zimbabwe in particular, we should be treated as trading partners and not the recipients of their donor monies, because they come with these stringent conditions, some of which sort of enslave us and also make us subscribe to alien cultures.
Local resident Moses Chireshe also said it is ironic that President Mugabe would speak on human rights and development and yet attack gays who are also human beings.
He was talking about the inextricable link between human rights and development, but he goes on to attack the human rights of others. Because the issue of gays, you have to look at it in this way, that whatever we think, whatever our culture is, we cannot impose our values on other people. You cannot impose your religious beliefs on other people. So I think that the president said those remarks, and also on the issue of sanctions.
Another Harare resident, Chipo Show, castigated the president for complaining about sanctions imposed by the West, saying Mr. Mugabe should address issues like corruption before the restrictive measures are lifted.
Because we have been crying about sanctions for a very long time here in Zimbabwe. What we need to do is now come back home and try to look for local solutions. There's a lot of corruption here, but we are still crying about sanctions.
The West imposed the sanctions on President Mugabe and his inner circle, claiming that the ruling party rigged elections and was violating the rights of its citizens. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Patricia Mdadigwa.
For Perspective reporter Ntungamili Nkomo speaks with ZANU-PF activist Gadzira Churumanzu.
President Mugabe said, you know, he called a spade, as it is, and there is no one who can say far much better than what he did. Of course, well, as usual, we know that President Mugabe, you know, represents, you know, Ubuntu, he represents Africa, and as the current, you know, AU chairman, he spoke very well, and he simply said the truth. But now it is only a question of what Africans, you know, make out of that. Do they really understand him, or they have other ideas? That becomes the issue. But, for example, you know, look, he told the UN, all the members, that Africa needs genuine partnership, not handouts, because we are sick and tired of these handouts. And at the end of the day, you find that these handouts, you know, come with the strings attached, and we don't want that. And that is exactly what he said. And I think fair-minded people will, I mean, agree with him. He said Africa, Zimbabwe included, needs fairness, justice, peace,
Mr. Mugabe also called for reconciliation and normalization of ties between Harare and Western countries like the United States. Do you see this call working?
No, well, the ball is in the courts of USA and its allies, the EU members. But at the end of the day, what we need to know and appreciate is that Zimbabwe has got its own natural resources that are needed by either the USA and the EU countries.
That was ZANU-PF activist Gadzirai Chirumanzu speaking with Studio 7's Tungamili Nkomo.
Associate Fellow Institute for Policy Studies Emira Woods tells Studio 7's Ndimiyake Mwakalyelye she agrees it's time for the U.S. to address the issue of sanctions on Zimbabwe. However, she says it's unfortunate that President Mugabe used the UNGA platform to state his position against gays.
In the context in which sanctions in terms of Iran have moved in a much more positive direction, I think it is also time to consider the U.S. approach in terms of Zimbabwe and whether or not it has brought the outcome that was desired. I think if the U.S. is able to advance in negotiations with Iran to the extent that they have, then I think it is long overdue to also examine the U.S. Strategy with regards to sanctions in Zimbabwe.
And even as President Mugabe is talking about this Sahrawi people, there are some also say, well, in Zimbabwe, there's a missing person by the name of Itai Dzamara. So in light of that reality, does that kind of offer any other kind of insight from the
U.S.?
I
think absolutely right on point in terms of thinking about especially the journalists that have been wrongly imprisoned and their rights completely denied. I think holding up the need for protecting the rights of people, whether it's civil society or the media and human rights defenders of all kinds and stripes, not only in Zimbabwe, but clearly that's an issue that remains.
And my final question has to do with the point President Mugabe raised on gays in his words. What is the responsibility that you think the United Nations has to the accusations that you're imposing upon us, uncultural practices like homosexuality?
You know, I think the United Nations stands to protect and defend human rights and human dignity and the rights of all on this planet. You know, it's kind of enshrined in the UN Declaration of Human Rights. And so I think it's unfortunate, you know, that President Mugabe chose that platform for this rant. Unfortunate that it has garnered so much attention.
That was Associate Fellow Institute for Policy Studies Emira Woods speaking with Studio 7's Ndimiyake Mwakalyelye.
And still at UNGA, the United Nations has moved to improve youth participation at this year's summit, and young people from Zimbabwe and other parts of the world are holding crucial meetings on the sidelines of the summit. Our reporter Blessing Zulu caught up with human rights activist Beatrice Savage, who is also the current director for Real Open Opportunities for Transformation Support, an organization working to promote social and economic justice for young people in Zimbabwe.
What we talked about was that the need for involvement and participation, meaningful involvement and participation of young people to in all spheres and in all spaces of decision making, to ensure that we are part of the implementation, the planning, the implementation of Millennium Development Goals, and also the part of the monitoring and evaluation of those goals. And most importantly, that we need to mobilize young people to be excited about SDGs now, because with the Millennium Development Goals, you find out that a lot of young people were not really aware of what they were and what meant for them.
But looking at Zimbabwe, what would you consider to be the major challenges when it comes to achieving the SDGs?
I think the major challenge that we have is the economic crisis that we are in, much as we need to have the political will to engage and involve young people in the implementation. I think world over we are experiencing the youth bulge, where we have half of the world's population being young people. So there isn't that deliberate move to meaningfully involve young people in decision making to ensure that we implement sustainable development goals. And I think because of the economic situation, we don't have resources to finance the implementation of such goals so that we meet the targets.
There's always this concern that the youths are left out when important discussions are being carried out. Do you feel the world leaders are now taking you seriously?
With the sustainable development goals, there's been a huge exercise world leaders embarked on in different spheres, and where young people were heavily consulted.
That was human rights activist Beatrice Savage-Ge, who is also the current director for Real Open Opportunities for Transformation Support, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from New York at the General Assembly.
Now we take a look at regional and international news.
Former Congolese Vice President Jean-Pierre Bemba, who already faces war crimes charges at the International Criminal Court in The Hague, is on trial again.
Police in South Africa are cracking down on motorists who drive while drunk.
And Afghanistan's National Security Forces, backed by U.S. airstrikes, launched a counteroffensive today to wrench control of the northern city of Kunduz from the Taliban.
Zimbabwe proposes to set up a center for handling issues affecting its citizens living outside the country, including diaspora remittances, estimated at almost $2 billion last year. Macroeconomic Planning and Investment Promotion Minister Obed Mpofu, who unveiled a draft diaspora policy last week detailing proposed constructive engagement with more than 3 million Zimbabweans living in various nations, says this move is designed to boost the local ailing economy. Mpofu tells Studio 7's Gibbs Dube the draft policy is a perfection of the failed MoneyLink scheme introduced at the height of Zimbabwe's historic hyperinflation that was designed to promote investment and make it easy for diasporans to send money home.
It is a policy which is in draft form that has been received, you know, very well by the generality of our citizenry as well as the diasporians. Now, we have been receiving a lot of inquiries about it, and we are excited that the response has been so excitingly overwhelming. It seeks to make remittances of funds to by diasporians into the country easy, and it also will make it easy for those that want to support their relatives in whatever way easy, unlike the current situation where they have to go through some processes which actually are not only costly but inconvenient. We have been consulting with the diasporans themselves through workshops. We had one workshop 3 days ago, which was attended by now members of the diaspora community, and they proffered us some suggestions which we think will be very helpful in the implementation of this policy.
How exactly, Mr. Mpofu, is this contributing easy way for Zimbabweans living abroad or outside the country to actually remit funds to their relatives?
Those details are the ones that are actually incorporated in the draft, which will be made public in due course. But, you know, we have incorporated all suggestions that have been made by those that actually are stakeholders in this exercise. We are still consulting, and although the consultations are towards no conclusion, but we feel the final draft, which will be presented to Cabinet and Parliament, will actually be that is user-friendly and doesn't create problems for people who want to send money home.
We still remember that there was one issue that Zimbabweans living outside the country were not happy about, and that is, you know, MoneyLink. You know, it just disappeared. Is it not going to go the same way here, like maybe you trying to facilitate some of these things?
But certainly this is an improvement of that. You know, we are using that as a base for our discussions. I mean, we are taking into consideration the experiences of the MoneyLink, the experiences elsewhere, and the international best practices to come up with something that will be really, you know, a document which our people will find acceptable to what they need.
Do you have any kind of tips or kind of hints, you know, as to what exactly is in it?
There's a committee that actually is polishing up the document, and I don't want to preempt their recommendations, but I can assure the public that this is going to be a very, very progressive document, a document that will, in the main, incorporate views from the diasporans themselves.
That was Obet Mpofu, Investment Minister, speaking with Studio 7 from Nyamandlovu, Matabeleland North Province.
But Daniel Molokeli of the Zimbabwe Global Forum says they were not consulted by the government.
I went a lot to the diaspora, and it's news to me. I'm not sure who they consulted with. I'll be keen to know. But here in South Africa, there hasn't been a public consultation at all. The only time there was a public consultation was the time when there was an all-inclusive government. A global Zimbabwe Forum worked with the International Organization for Migration to engage the government at that time. There is a draft policy document that is about 6 years old. But as far as I'm concerned, this new development, I'm not part of it, and I'm not sure whether they consulted anyone, at least in South Africa. I don't know in the other parts of the world.
So what does it mean, Mr. Molokeli?
I'll be very happy for journalists to ask Minister Mpofu to actually clarify who in the diaspora they consulted, because at least if they can give a list of the meetings, the venues, the dates, and the kind of participants or organizations that were represented, or documents and formal presentation from diaspora organizations.
But is it not a noble move for them to start crafting such a policy?
There is already a draft policy document on the diaspora, of engagement of the diaspora, which was done through the Prime Minister's office. And it doesn't just focus on remittances, because the diaspora has a bigger role to play apart from the financial opportunities they present to the national agenda. So it has to address all issues affecting the diaspora, including issues around citizenship and so on, issues around how they engage with other ministries such as Home Affairs that are very important to the diaspora in terms of their documents and papers, whether it's a birth certificate, death certificate, all those kind of things.
That was Daniel Molokeli of the Zimbabwe Global Forum speaking with Studio 7 from Johannesburg, South Africa.
Hundreds of Zimbabweans who applied for special permits in South Africa are now living in fear as they are still waiting for the permits a day before the program ends tomorrow. Tomorrow's deadline for the closure of the ZSP program has caused great anxiety and panic among those Zimbabweans who are yet to receive their permits. More than 20,000 permits were rejected. Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye speaks with Diana Zimbuzana of the Zimbabwe Exiles Forum about this issue.
It doesn't sit very well with us, because there are people whose permits were not issued to start off with. But then there are also those whose permits were rejected and they need to appeal. So we don't know what the closure or the closing date of tomorrow means to those who haven't received their permits.
What is your organization doing currently to re-engage the South African Home Affairs Ministry?
We engaged them around May when we asked them to give us a direction on the appeal process, because by then we were already beginning to receive complaints from applicants who were saying their permits had been rejected and they didn't know if there was room for appealing. And the Home Affairs had come back to us and said they are going to put in place an appeal process, but it hasn't been done yet. So we are still waiting for that outcome. As of now, since the closing date is tomorrow, there isn't much that we can do. What we can only do is to encourage applicants to go to their VFS offices and see the status of their permits.
Is there any other recourse?
Well, there could be afterwards that we could actually launch an appeal process and say not everyone got the message that they should go to their VFS offices for collection. It's a possibility, but with the Home Affairs, nothing is certain. So it's something that we can't really be sure that it will work. That is something that we can try to use later on.
That was Diana Zimbuzana of the Zimbabwe Exiles Forum speaking with Studio 7 from Johannesburg, South Africa. And now a quick recap of today's top stories.
President Mugabe was at it again yesterday condemning gays and Western sanctions.
Hundreds of Zimbabweans who applied for special permits in South Africa are now living in fear as the deadline approaches tomorrow.
Thank you for joining us this evening. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
And this is Chris Gande. Please do stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele.